Jesus, you're here, all things are possible, now that you're here.
Amen. Just a moment, please, we just had a disconnect. Let's open our Bibles this morning to John chapter 3, verse 15. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are so thankful, Lord, to once again be in your house, to come together in spirit and in truth, to believe thy word. And Father, we just commit, Lord, the hearing of thy word today. We commit it unto thee. We ask, O God, that you would bless this word and help us, Lord, to have a better understanding of who we are and the promises that are for us. For we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last night we spoke from John chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, and we spoke of the two promises given in these verses to the believer. And last night, however, we focused on the first of these two promises, that the believer shall not perish. And I just need to check something here. We've got something going on with our encoder. And all right, looks like we're still good. All right, and anyway, we spoke in the first two. We showed you two promises: thou shalt not perish, or the believer shall not perish. And then we mentioned the second one, which he shall have eternal life, or one place it says he shall have everlasting life. And so what I wanted to do this morning is focus on this verse, because it says have, H-A-V-E. And the word have actually sounds like it's possessing, which it does. It does possess. But the word actually was translated from the Greek word echo. And in some places it's translated as hath, H-A-T-H. Other places here we find it as have. And now this Greek word echo is the same word that we use in the English word echo. And it means the same thing. It means to reflect back or to give back in the way that it came. In other words, as we said before, you know, if I repeat something, but I don't use the same emphasis or have the same spirit behind it, it can be totally different. You know, I could say, John, that's a very nice tie. Or I could say, John, that's a very nice tie. You know, and by the way I say it, it's a completely 180 different end of the, you know, dichotomy. I mean, it's 180 degrees different in meaning. Well, so when we look at the word hath or echo, it means you say it the same way. So if Ron says, John, that's a very nice tie, and I come up and say, John, that's a very nice tie, I just echoed Ron. You see? I'm saying the same thing. So when God tells us something, we say it back the same way. That's why when Brother Branham said, say what's on the tape, say exactly what's on the tapes. And say it the way that it's said. I don't know if you all heard Brother Billy Paul's talk about how he had kind of gotten on his sister's case one time, and he said something to her very harshly, and she began crying, and he said, well, I just said what Daddy said. She said, but you didn't say it the way he said it. You see? And by not saying things the way that it said to us, we can have a completely different meaning. Now, Brother Branham said from Acts of the Holy Ghost, 1954, he said, you know what the word, not going into the Greek things, that's, you know, to be talked about. People talk Greek things, but we don't talk Greek things here. We talk Jesus Christ in this tabernacle. We don't come with swelling words here. We come here with knowing nothing but the power of the resurrection of Christ. But the very word Greek, the Greek word means eternal life. The same Greek word is in translation. I got the Hebrew and the Greek both and studied it. And I'm not a scholar. I'm not a scholar in it. I just know a few words, just something to help me out. When somebody goes to fussing, I know how to cut them off at it. But when it comes to a place like this, that when that same Greek word that speaks of God's life speaks of the same life that he gives to you. And both the Greek word Greek words as the life of God or eternal life is pronounced Zoe, Z-O-E, Zoe, life. And all that comes to me, I will give them Zoe, my own life. Will give them my own life, and they shall never perish, and I'll raise them up at the last days. In other words, everyone that comes to me, I'll wrap him in me, amen, and he will become a part of me, and he can no more die than I can die, for I'm immortal and can't die, and his soul's immortal and can't die, and I'll raise him up again at the last days. Oh my. So what we're looking at is Brother Branham is talking about when you receive eternal life. Look, it's not just your names in the book. It's not just being a better Christian. It's not just, you know, turning a leaf, as the people say. You actually have the life of God, immortal, eternal life. So how could you perish if you're filled with God life? Now this morning, I don't think we need to go into what eternal life is, as though you don't already know what eternal life is. I mean, Brother Brown said eternal life is living for others. But what we wish to point out this morning is the exact wording that Jesus uses here concerning the believer, because he is not only is he stating that the believer is a possessor of eternal life, but also the believer actually echoes eternal life. Now let's read the scripture again, and this time let's use the original Greek so that you can see just where I'm driving at. You see that it's not enough to merely possess eternal life, but in these verses of Scripture, Jesus is telling us, telling the believer, that the believer is the one who actually echoes eternal life. Now, that's very important for us to understand. You say, why? Because if I don't see that life reflecting from you, I don't see eternal life. Now, we are many Messiahs, or Messiahs, as Brother Branham called us. And if we are Messiahs in the very life, the very actions, the very fruits, the very nature, the very character of the Messiah should be reflecting in us. Now, why isn't it? I just asked the question. Brother Ram said we backslide many times a day. But he said, but there should be something in there causing us to repent many times a day. You see? Now, John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, the word that was translated for the word have here was the Greek word echo. So, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should echo eternal life. Now, from Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham said, and if the life of Jesus Christ ever puts another body of believers, it'll bear the fruit that that the first one did. They'll write a book of Acts behind it, because it'll be the same life. See what I mean? You just can't get away from it. It's the life of Christ in you, been injected in you by the Holy Spirit itself, living itself through you. Amen. Now, sitting at the table with Brother Vail every week, Brother Vail is going through a metamorphosis in his own thinking. He made the statement a few weeks ago. He said, you know, I always thought all these years Brother Branham was more of a Baptist preaching to Pentecostals, but now I see Brother Branham is more Pentecostal than the Pentecostals. So why are we still Baptists? You understand? Brother Branham enjoyed going into a church where there's singing and shouting and just people having a good time in the Lord. Now, I don't recommend that you sisters let down your hair and go like the helicopter lady over here on Highway 22. I don't recommend that you put on a show. But what I do say is just, look, If you feel like praising the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. If you feel like amening, amen. Don't be so inhibited because of whatever. You go over to Africa, they know how to worship. And when and believe me, brother, sister, when they pray, they all pray. When they say, brother so-and-so, would you lead us in prayer? And the brother begins praying, the people are praying too. And they're amening, or they're actively involved. It's not just sitting back and you know, people say, well, that's Pentecostal. Listen, Brother Branham was more Pentecostal than Pentecostals, but it was in order.
That's right.
And it had its place. I know that when you sit under teaching, and we do a lot of teaching, Brother Vell does a lot of teaching, the people are quiet because they're trying to listen to every word. That's fine. But there's also, if you're just bubbling up with it, and there's something that's got to be expressed, there's no reason, under church order, there is no reason why you can't express an amen. Okay? Brother Branham says, it'll bear the fruit that the first one did. They'll write a book of Acts behind it, because it'll be the same life. See what I mean? You just can't get away from it. It's the life of Christ in you, been injected in you by the Holy Spirit itself, living itself through you. Living itself through you. In John 3:36, we read, he that believeth, same word, same Greek word with a little thing over it, he that believeth on the Son hath, or echoes, everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. From Be Not Afraid, Brother Branham said, and Jesus said, who can accuse me of unbelief? And if I don't do the works of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do the works, and yet you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. So you see here, he was doing the same thing that God did. Remember, Jesus said, my Father worketh and the Son worketh hitherto. What was he doing? He was echoing. Because an echo is not just this. In the Greek here, we're looking at a total reflection. As Brother Vell preached years ago, probably my favorite message he ever preached. Because he turned a corner. He brought it from just words to reality. And that sermon was a 20th century Omega reflection. And you need to listen to it if you haven't. Tremendous message, 1983, 1984. He that believeth on the Son hath, echoes, everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And I said, be not afraid, Brother Ram said, and Jesus said, who can accuse me of unbelief? If I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works, yet if you can't believe me, the man, believe the works that I do. So you see here, he was doing the same thing that God did. I want to ask you, brethren, if the life of Jesus Christ is in the church, then surely the church would do the same thing that he did, because the same life is in it. If here stands a peach tree, and I take all the peach life out of it and put apple life in it, what kind of a fruit will it bear? Apples. That's the kind of life that's in it. Well, then if the life that was in Christ is in us, it'll bear the fruits that he bore. It's got to. In John 6:47, we read, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Echoes everlasting life. And again, from Brother Bram's sermon, Perseverance, he said, now, if the angel of the Lord leading these people, it'll produce the same thing that it did when it was manifested in the true Son of God. It'll do the same thing in the adopted sons, plural, of God. For Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. If his life is in us, it'll produce the same. And if it does not care, if it does things contrary to the scripture, then it can't be the same angel. But if it produces the same life that it was when it was here on earth, manifested in the flesh, and promised to be manifested again in the same way, then it's the same spirit, same God, by the same word. See what I mean? Now, what are you saying, Brother Brian? I'm saying this. Brother Branham looked at the life of Jesus Christ. He saw the Word was manifested in the flesh of the Son. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John said, we beheld him. He said, that which we seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also might have life. We're talking about life being brought down into flesh. Brother Branham said, God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So if there is to be a bride, if she's to be filled with the Holy Spirit, there's got to be a physical manifested evidence of that word, or that word is either not true, or it's got to be somewhere. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to be in every church. I'm not even saying it'll be in this church, but I believe it will, and I hope it will, and I pray that it will. I pray that it'll be in me. I pray that it'll be in you. I want to see Jesus Christ manifested in you. With all my heart, I do. And I want to see Jesus Christ manifested in me. But we have his bodies to deal with. Brother Branham said, you can backslide. He never said 1,000 times a day. He never said that. He said, you can backslide many times a day. Many times a day. But Jesus said, if your brother be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore him, even if it's 70 times 7. Now, 70 times 7 is 490. Right? 7 times 7 is 49. Add a 0, 490. That's 500. Well, if you're really bad, I guess you could get up to there. But I don't think any of us has a problem with that, because you'd have to be constantly doing some pretty bad stuff. So let's just say many, like Brother Branham said. Say the same way he said it. Hey, we can slip up many times a day. If Paul said, if Paul had to be crucifying himself daily, as Brother Branham said, and Paul had to be repenting daily, and Brother Branham said, I have to repent daily, what about you and I? Is that hard a thing to repent? And ask God to forgive you and move on. Now, once you repent and go on, don't bring it up again. Please. It's done. From ordination, Brother Branham said, the word said, I am the vine and you are the branches. The same life that was in the vine pulsates into the vine and brings forth the same life with the same fruits, with the same works, with the same thing. I know it's the truth because I've seen it fulfilled. Amen and amen. John 6:54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood echoes eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. What's his word? What's his flesh and blood? That's his word, his spirit. All right, from hear ye him, Brother Branham said, Jesus had carried out every word of it. That's it. He carried out just exactly to the word now, because he was that perfect son. And he is the same, and he died to become the vine, that we might become the branch, that he can energize us with the life to make the same life that he had living in us. Then we'll do the same thing. Jesus said in St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now we watch what he done. We watch what he done. Now look, he's not just talking about supernatural. He's talking about everything. If the original seed had a certain way, a certain actions, certain works, certain things about it, then every seed that has that same life, whether it's a cupful or whether it's a whole ocean, is going to do the same things. Amen? John 5:25, for as the Father echoes life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to echo life in himself. Wow. How does the Father echo life? By having sons. Every time he says, this is my son, and it echoes. Let's try it. Let's try a little sound effects here. This is my son. Son, 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 son. You hear it? Okay. All right. So God's great echo went forth, and there was the firstborn son, and there was Ron, and there was Glenn, and there was Adam, and all these brothers in here, Brother Wesley, and Josh, John, Steve, Nick, Walt, Derek. God has sons. Huh? Sons. Okay. From Elijah in the meal offering, Brother Ram said, Jesus Christ was the same thing. He was the Son of God. He was God manifested in the flesh, but his flesh was man. His spirit was God. Then he promised in the last days that he would come into his church. A little while and the world seeth me no more, yet you'll see me. For I'll be with you, even in you. The works that I do shall you do also. See, Now, that great physician is here. He said, now the sign of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now what is it? Look at the papers. Homosexual perversion is on the increase of 40% over 10 years ago. Earthquakes in diverse places. All kinds of signs of the coming. The church falling away. The end time is here. Now, God's showing his signs too, as we've been preaching about. Now, if this Bible is true, which it is true, I'm ready to die for that purpose. The Bible is true. Jesus Christ lives. We are his church filled with his Spirit. Then his life is in us, will produce the same life that he lived in the Son of God, if the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. I love that. Gives me hope. Gives me hope. Let me ask you something. What's more powerful? The body of your death or the spirit of the immortal, omnipotent, omniscient God whose life is living in you? You are two-thirds spirit, your spirit and soul, one-third human. Maybe you ought to ask the two-thirds to kind of hold down that human. Sit on him. As Paul said, I get under my body and I bring it into submission. Now, if you get under the body, what does it do? What does it do? Gabriel, can you come here a second? A wrestler will grab an opponent like this, put him up over his shoulder. Now, Gabriel, try to get down. What's the matter? You have no leverage, right? All right. Thank you, son. Okay, the wrestler gets the man up on his shoulders. He has no leverage. Paul says, I get under my body. And I bring it into subjection. How? Because if you're under the body, in other words, like Brother Branham said, if you've got some area in your life that's troubling you, put it under the blood. Cover it at all times. Get under the body and bring it into subjection. There's two of you that can hold down the one. You're a tripartite being. Let the two gang up on the one. Get it under control. It's not that hard. It's not legalist either. We're not a bunch of Baptists that take grace into disgrace. We have a Father we want to please at all times. Amen? Amen? Okay. John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that believeth on me echoes everlasting life. From palmworm, locust, and caterpillar, Brother Ram said, if Christ is the vine and the life of Christ is in that person, it'll be like Jesus. It'll bear the fruits of him. It's his spirit. It can't do nothing else but do it. It's got to produce that life because it's the same life. You just can't produce anything else. I'll act like him. I'll talk like him. I'll walk like him. I'll heal like him. It'll see vision. It'll see visions like him. It'll produce exactly his life perfectly every time because it's his life. You're just a shell. A man's just like a water pipe. He's not the water. He's just the pipe. Take the water out of him and he'll rust. Well, that's what's the matter today. And there's too many of us rusting that once had experience. Keep the water flowing. That's what keeps the lifeline going. Now, I know there's people out that believe that nobody's supposed to have a vision but Brother Branham. That's not true. Brother Vales had visions. We have a promise. The young men shall have see dreams and the old men shall see visions or vice versa. I don't remember exactly which one it is. Does anybody remember that? It's young men see visions and old men dream dreams. Yes. All right. So if that's from God to us, why do you fight it? Joseph had dreams. He was a young man, but he had dreams. And you know what? His brothers hated him for it. Now, I'm not telling you all go out and start dreaming and try to create a lot of issues in the church because of your dreams. There's enough of that stuff going on. Look, all I'm saying is just be open to God, whatever God has for you. Just be open. You know, when you first became a Christian, You were just so excited to be a Christian and whatever God had for you. That's all I'm saying is that, you know, we get to the place that we get heady, high-minded. Then we become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We spend more time in our activities, the pleasure activities, than we spend in time activity with God. You see, it goes from one to the next. You become heady, high-minded first. That's what the scripture says. Heady, high-minded. Then lovers of pleasure, lovers of God. That's the way it's got to go. Because you're not getting your excitement from the word. You're getting your excitement from other things. Because you cut off with your head. You cut off the pleasure. You cut off the shouting, the rejoicing, the praising God. You'd be super afraid to run around a tree shouting like Brother Branham did. I'll guarantee it. But I hope you're open to the point where the stimulation of revelation hits you and you're willing to run around a tree. Run around the church, whatever it takes. Now, I'm not asking you to come, get up and start running around the church and do, you know, what I'm saying is, look, just be yourself. You are who you are by the grace of God. He knew exactly what you'd look like. Make sure your parents got together to give you the DNA that you need to reflect what he saw before the foundation of the world. Yeah. He's got everything under control. Aren't all things working together for the good of those that love the Lord? Amen. Everything is. And so Brother Brown said, it'll be like Jesus. It'll bear the fruits. It's his spirit, of course. It can't do nothing else. It's got to produce that life because it is the same life. You can't produce anything else. It'll just act like him. It'll talk like him. It'll walk like him. It'll heal like him. It'll see the visions like him. It'll produce exactly his life perfectly every time because it's his life. You're just a shell. Now listen, didn't we see Jesus when we saw Brother Branham? Yes. Did he walk like him? Did he talk like him? Did he act like him? Did he heal like him? Did he have visions like him? Amen? Oh, what about you? Brother Bosworth had visions. Brother Bosworth healed like Jesus. He talked like Jesus. He walked like Jesus. I've seen Brother Vail. He walked like Jesus, talked like Jesus. Preach like Jesus. Oh yeah, Jesus took he took the thing and ran him out of the church. Yeah. So what about you? Do you talk like Jesus? Do you act like Jesus? Do you walk like Jesus? Do you heal like Jesus? When I can see a three-year-old child lay hands on a child and that other child gets healed because of a three-year-old child, then why can't we have faith like that little child? From his sermon, Hebrews chapter 6, Brother Brown points out the very essence of that struggle, and he says, I had a vision that always bothered me. Now let me ask you something. How many does it really bother you when you backslide? John, does it really bother you? Steve? How many in here don't backslide? How many in here do backslide? Well, listen to what Brother Branham says. I had a vision that's always bothered me. Years ago, I used to look at that and I said, oh, if a man once received the Holy Spirit, then would backslide, he'd be lost forever. And I couldn't get this other thing to make sense with that. I said, why then does the Bible say that he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life, eternal, and shall never come to judgment, but has passed from death unto life? All the Father has given me will come to me, and none of them is lost. I'll raise them up at the last day. No man can pluck them out of my hand. How does that divvy up with this? I just couldn't understand it. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened. I thought, there's something wrong. I just can't get it. Brother Bram saw Hebrews 6. It's impossible for those who have been once for all enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, and made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and to turn away. It's impossible for them to ever come through the repentance again. Couldn't get it straight in his mind. And I think that bothers some of you sometimes. Well, listen, Jesus said, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, takes in my word, takes in my spirit, echoes eternal life, I'll raise him up at the last day. He will not come into the condemnation. I'm going to read a few more quotes on this because Brother Brown says from Questions and Answers. He said, now, just saying that you were baptized in Christian baptism at the age of 13 and you've lived a Christian life all the way along, or if you backslid a few times, I don't know whether they, on backsliding, now I wish somebody would ask me that question, but on backsliding, remember, you backslide every day. There's no way at all for you to keep out of it. Thank you, God. I mean, not that I want to backslide. But the fact is, he's saying there's no way you can keep from it. All right? But you backslide to the people in the church. I'll put it this way. You backslide to your wife. You wives, you backslide to your husbands. But you don't backslide. And he says you backslide on Christ, but you don't backslide on God. Now listen. Think about this. Because when you sin, you're gone. But you're constantly falling. Paul had to die every day. Is that right? He had to die every day. He had to repent every day and just constantly repenting all the time. See? And if Paul had to do that, then I'm going to have to do it. Aren't you too? That's right. Oh, I feel good. Now we're in some good company. Paul had to backslide. I mean, Paul backslid daily, so he had to die daily. You see, he said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? And as long as you're in this body that was born by sexual desire, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth to the world speaking lies, you're having trouble. You might go 2 or 3 days, you feel pretty good. You know, my backsliding wasn't so bad. I kind of got it under check, and then bam! As soon as you get a little puffed up and you quit repenting, bam! You get laid out. Oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I'm sorry, honey. Listen, I had to clip out 15 minutes of my sermon from last night before I put it on the internet. We backslide daily. Not that what I said was wrong. It doesn't gender good communication. All right, for questions and answers, COD. Brother Brown said, the last question now, I think that all of them, the Bible says that everything works for the good to them that love the Lord. Then if you love God and turn back to the world, would God let you die in sin? Or would he let you be reconciled back to him before he takes you away? The lady signed her name, so I'd say to the lady, because she signed her name, yes, sister, if you are born now let me get this. See, temporarily minor, every one of us backslides many times a day. We know that. We're all guilty, every one of us. There's none of us perfected. And as long as we're in this body, we are still, no matter how much the people try to tell, I've sanctified. I can kiss that woman. I can kiss that woman and nothing happened to me. Like the guy told me, he was married to another woman, but he had his sister ride with him on his motorcycle. She had to hold on for dear life. And he said, when I kissed her goodnight, he said, I could feel the Holy Spirit well up in my body. I said, brother, that wasn't the Holy Spirit welling up. Amen. You don't know the difference between sexual lust and the Holy Ghost. You're in pretty bad shape. My brother said, I don't try to say, I'm sanctified. I can kiss that woman or do that. He's lying. He cannot. Now, that's all. I don't try to say, Lord, let me see how close I can go. It's, Lord, keep me as far as I can get. See? Just stay as far as, and remember, you are still human beings. We are sons and daughters of God trapped in this body. As the fellow from New York, the guy that's got his radio, or his broadcast, he says, I'm not a black man. He said, I'm a son of God trapped in black skin. Well, you're not a white man either, or a red man either. You're sons and daughters of God trapped in whatever skin you're trapped in. And it is a trap. It is a trap. But thank God that 2/3 of me is not this skin, not this flesh. And I'm thankful for that. From the rising sun, Brother Ram said, now, the very essence of the message that was sent, that he is risen from the dead. We, his beneficiaries, we who share the resurrection with him, draw benefits. Now, isn't this exactly what we've been teaching? We're teaching the benefits. And Brother Brown says, I never seen this quote before until the other night. His beneficiaries, we who share the resurrection with him, draw benefits from this by proving to the world that he is alive. We cannot do it by word only. Oh, what's he saying? We cannot do this by word only. We cannot do it by some tradition of man. We only reflect exactly what we're pointing to. I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to the church, to a theory, but we must get them to Christ. He is the only one and the only one that has life. He that has the Son has life. And you know what that word is? That's from 1 John 5. And it's actually, he that hath the Son. He that echoes the Son echoes life. I like that. And if the life of the man that's dead be projected in you, you will live the same life that he lived. If the blood of the man was a certain type and you took the blood from one man and changed the blood of another man into it, he'd absolutely be that type of blood. And if your spirit that's in you is reckoned dead and you are anointed with the life that was in Christ is upon you, Romans 8:11, it says, if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it also quickens your mortal bodies. Amen. That same life, then same powers, them same beneficiaries that he had here on earth from God. He redeemed you, a seed that was foreknown by God, whose name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundations of the world, and that gospel light of the resurrection, the confirmation of the word. How did he know he was the Christ? Because he proved what he talked about. How will I know the message of the hour? God proves what he promised, and he talks about it. How will you know that you're the bride of Jesus Christ? Because your life will reflect it. Your doctrine will reflect it. Out of your mouth, out of your actions. Amen? Isn't the mark of the beast in the forehead, in the actions, in the hand? Well, where would the mark of Christ then be? It's got to be in the mind, in the actions. And it's coming forth from your heart that brings it to the mind, brings it to the action, because it's God in you working to will and to do. And the will's here and the doing's here. Then how will people know that I am indeed a real true Christian? God will prove it through my body. He'll prove it through your body. God will manifest himself, his life, through this body. And if this body does not manifest Jesus Christ the same in this flesh as it was lived out in his flesh, then I don't have what I profess that I have. Now from the darkest hour Jesus comes, Brother Branham said, now God gave him the Spirit without measure, but he gives it to you and I by measure. He measured me out a spoonful. Now, Brother Branham, now let me tell you something. Brother Branham just said here, God measured him out a spoonful. Now, if he had a spoonful, maybe we've got a thimbleful. It doesn't matter how much you got. Because you could have only the size of a sperm, and a sperm you can fit over a million some on the head of a pin. And it's still going to grow into a son or daughter. Right? So all you need, you don't need a thimbleful. All you need is one sperm from God, one word to start the process. Hallelujah. That's why Brother Brown said the woman could have one tape. That's all she need. He says, he measured me out a spoonful, but when he measured it out to his son, he measured the whole oceans. See what I mean? But notice the same chemicals that's in this spoon is in the ocean. The whole ocean. And all the chemicals in the ocean is in, or a measure of them is in this spoon. It's the same kind. See, it'll do the same thing. It'll do the same works. It'll produce the same life. Don't you believe that? That's what makes us Christians. Didn't the Bible say that they perceived that these people were Christians because they acted like Christ? Isn't that what Brother Branham said Christian means? Followers of Christ, people who act like him, talk like him. From the Queen of Sheba, Brother Branham said, the Bible said that. No man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. If you've never yet received the Holy Ghost, you don't know that he's the Christ yet. Now remember that. You're only walking towards the light. You can say, my pastor said so, that's true. My Bible says so, well, that's true. My mother says so, well, that's true. My church believes it's the Holy Ghost, well, that's true. But what about you as an individual? You don't know until you received it. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, when you are a then you are a witness that He's alive forevermore. Now the Holy Ghost is within you now, and then you watch Him as He works. Notice, not watch me, what I can do. Hallelujah. Watch Him while He works. Where? In you. You mean I did that? Yeah. It really blessed me. You mean I said those things? Yeah, don't you remember? No. It was God doing it. How many times have any of you ever had people come up to you and say, you know, I perceive that you're a Christian. What's that? Did you go up to them and tell them, see that patch? I'm a Christian. No. They saw something in you that was different from what they see in other people. That's Christ reflecting out, using your body. Amen? And then you watch Him as He works. If the life of Christ is in you, it, what, the life, will produce His life in you. The works that I do show you do also. The same works, because it's the same life. If the life in a watermelon vine produces a watermelon, well, the next branch that comes out, it'll produce another watermelon. Every time it'll be a watermelon. And if the church is really anchored in Christ, every church will write a book of Acts behind it. I'm going to read that one more time. Not the Branham Tabernacle only. Every church will write a book of Acts behind it. That's exactly right. Because the first one wrote a book of Acts behind it, so there you are. 1 John 3, verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer echoes eternal life abiding in him. No murderer echoes eternal life, because you're not reflecting God when you murder. You're reflecting the devil, the son of perdition. From Be Not Afraid, Brother Branham said, and Jesus said, who can accuse me of unbelief? And if I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works, and yet you can't believe me, believe the works. So you see here, what he was doing the same thing that God did. I want to ask you, brethren, if the life of Jesus Christ is in the church, then surely the church would do the same thing he did, because the same life is in it. If here stands a peach tree, and I take all the peach life out of it and put apple life in it, what kind of fruit will it bear? Apples. That's the kind of life that's in it. Well, then if the life that was in Christ is in us, it'll bear the fruits that he bore. It's got to. From Jesus Christ the same, Brother Brown said, if a Christian church is in the vine or the branch that's in Christ, they'll do the works of Christ and bear the life of Christ. By their fruits you shall know them. Now then, the way that he is today, he's here in the form of the Holy Spirit, working through his church, performing the same things that he did there. That makes him the same yesterday, today, and forever. His life, the life that was in Christ, which was God, produced the kind of life that he lived in then. That same life comes into his church. His church members, since they have been purged by his blood and given the Holy Spirit access to work through him, it bears the same fruit that he bore. So therefore, the world can see that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because it's in you. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Brown said, you have to know it by the Spirit. Flesh cannot do these things. What is it? The vine, the branches. The same life that was in the vine comes through the branches. He feeds the branch through his vine. That's how he declares himself to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. For he said, I'm the vine, the Holy Spirit now. Christ in spirit form in you, energizing you with his Spirit to believe God. And he's everything that he does. He manifests himself just like he did in the Bible times. The works that I do shall you do. A little while and the world seeth me no more. Now, how many knows he said that? That's the ones that don't see it no more, that's the unbeliever. Yet, you shall see me, that's the believer. For I, personal pronoun, I will be in you, even in you, to the end of the world. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The works that I do shall you do also. Now, the word there in the King James says, greater works than this will you do. But if you run that back to the Greek lexicon, you find that it doesn't mean greater, it means more. You couldn't do any greater. He stopped nature. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He'd done things. Well, there could be no more done, but you could do more of it. because he would be in his church as the branch, as the vine in the branches, or whole world around, the same thing. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you in here have ever laid hands on the sick? Can I see you raise your hands? How many of you have seen God heal that person that you raised hands? I mean, that you touched? Can I see hands of those that actually had? All right. Who did that? You think your mortal flesh was able to do that? Who did it? God did it. Then whose works was it? It was God's works. But whose hands was it? It was your hands. You see, God don't have hands and feet. He's got your hands and your feet. I mean, Brother Branham said that. He said, whose hands are going to use in this day? He's the invisible God, the immortal, invisible King. He uses your hands, your feet. All right? Now, here's the thing. We know mentally that we have eternal life. As we read the quotes last night, where Brother Branham said, it isn't so much whether you mentally know it, but you must know it deep from within the heart. And even deep in our heart, we know that we have been born again, and yet we struggle with this body of flesh that we have been housed on in this earth. In 1 John 5 and 12, it says, he that echoes the Son echoes life. And he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life. Now, this is quite a statement that the Apostle John has given us. And since we believe that the Word of God is God-breathed, then these words were not the words of John, but rather they were the words of God given to us through God's servant John. Now, our study is concerning the benefits that we're looking at right now currently, that we receive by being believers, and we spent 45 sermons on the benefits we have as through the Son of God. It has its inception through these very notable words that John tells us in 2 John 9. He says, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ echoes not God. But he that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. Now, John is speaking to us here concerning two types of people, or shall we say twins. And he's contrasting to us the difference between these two types of people. First of all, he speaks of those who would transgress and not abide in the doctrine. Now, the word transgress used here in this verse of Scripture was translated from the Greek word parabeno, which is made up of two Greek words coming together. The word para speaks of location, proximity, or vicinity. And the word beno means to walk or keep pace with. Placed together, it speaks of keeping pace with or going beyond the limits. Actually, not keeping pace with or going beyond the limits. Therefore, we can read the verse, whosoever does not keep pace with or goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ does not echo God. But he that remains in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. So we see the comparison John is speaking of here has to do with those who would abide in, which means to remain in, versus those that will not keep pace with, and thus will not abide or remain in, and thus they go beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ. And then he tells us that those who will not keep pace with or remain in the doctrine of Christ, they don't echo God. All right? Now, in examining the word hath, and we're going to be closing just a little bit. In examining the word hath, we find the word was translated from the Greek word echo, and is used over 600 times in the Scripture. That's a lot. And you know, if they would have done with the word echo as they did with the word baptisma, and left it the way it was, just like Rotherham said, if they would have left the word parousia in there instead of trying to come up with coming, because the word coming means it's a motion and it speaks of future, whereas parousia speaks of presence and rest, and the period of time where that presence is. Well, they left baptisma as baptism to make it a little bit more English for us. But had they left the word echo in the Bible, the understanding of people would have been much better than it is today. Over 600 times it's used throughout Scripture. The Greek word echo has various applications of usage, including to have and to hold, both usages showing possession or relationship. And so we can see that the root meaning of this word speaks of relationship, whether directly or remotely, and thus the main strength of usage concerning this word has to do with relationship. Now, the word continually means the state or quality of being continuous, an uninterrupted succession or flow, a coherent whole. A detailed script or scenario consulted to avoid discrepancies from shot to shot in a film. And as you can see, all these descriptions meaning show the attributes of what an echo really is. The purpose of an echo then is to bring about continuity, an uninterrupted succession or flow, so to speak, to avoid discrepancies from shot to shot or from voice to voice if we are to be more scripturally accurate. Thus, you can see that an echo will keep the continuity of thought and speech, because an echo not only will say the same thing, but will bring forth the same inflection, the same dynamics of the original speech and time, again, as it proceeds forth in the course of life. So you could have the mechanics, but if you don't have the dynamics, you can't echo. You see? Thus, the spoken word, we know, is the original seed. And as a seed, it is subject to the commands of God concerning all seeds that he spoke in Genesis 1:11, that every seed would bring forth after the kind or nature. Thus, in each seed that comes forth from the original seed, there must be an ability to echo or repeat what was in that seed. And if the original, and that's why a hybrid doesn't reproduce. It doesn't echo. You see? That's the end of it. And if the original spoken word is a seed, then the spoken word seed must bring forth after its kind. Thus, an ability to echo with will guarantee the continuity that each time that word is repeated, it will not only say the same thing, but the same thoughts as the original will be behind it, because the expression or dynamics of that word will be the same from generation to generation as it repeats itself over and over again. And the repetition being reflected from echo to echo will carry along with it the same expression, the same dynamics, the same mechanics, and will sound exactly as the original seed sounded. That's why when the voice of the Holy Spirit was speaking and said, as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall you forerun my second coming. And Brother Branham wasn't talking, but yet Mita, years later, she said, Brother Branham, that was your voice I heard. Why? A perfect echo. Hallelujah. Years ago, I heard Brother Vales preach on the message, Omega Reflection, 20th century Omega Reflection. And in it, he spoke about Moses coming down from the mountain. His face was glowing with the presence of the Lord. And as the people made him put a veil over their face because they were afraid of his face glowing from the Shekinah glory. And Brother Vail went on to speak of how the prophet is in direct line with the glory of God and with the pillar of fire. And as he reflects it, if we would just stand there in that presence, that same reflection that was coming off of him would begin pretty soon to reflect off of us, that same light. Now, this is a very good thought, and it's inspired many of my studies throughout the years. I mean, 1984 to now, that's almost 30 years. We're coming up on 30 years, and that's blessed me. Now, from the Church Age book, chapter 4, the Smyrnian Church Age, Brother Brown said, in every age, we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said, 1 Corinthians 14:37. If a man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge what the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? They add here, they take there, and soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. How careful must we be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter likewise did. We warned them that he, Paul, could not change one word of what had been given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by the way of his messengers and then say what has been given them to say to the churches. Amen. And that's the true echo, to say what has been given in the same way that it was given. Now that we know that the Greek word is that was translated from the word hath, is the word echo, let's just read a few verses of Scripture over and over again and see how our understanding changes as we read them. And 2 John verse 9, because we find here a very strong language concerning the doctrine of Christ. It says, whoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ echoes not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ echoes both the Father and the Son. All I have to do is just plug in the word echo for the word hath. Now let's go to 1 John 5:12. He that hath, he that echoes the Son, echoes life. and he that hath not, that means he that cannot echo the Son of God, hath not life, echoes not life. Then if you cannot echo the Son, you cannot echo life itself, and God is life. For you see, when Jesus came, he said, it is written in the volume of the book, I have come to do thy will, O God. And Jesus also said in John 5, 19 and 30, the Son can of himself do nothing, but whatsoever the Son seeth the Father do, the Son doeth likewise. And in John 7, 16, he said, my doctrine is not mine, but the Father's that sent me. And he said, the things that I teach, the Father commanded me what to say and what to teach. He's just echoing what the Father gave him. It's not that hard. And so we see that the Son of God reflected or echoed the Father in every detail, and thus he that can echo the Son will echo life, for God is life. And he that will remain in the doctrine of Christ will echo both then the Father and the Son. For if Jesus echoed the Father and we echo Jesus, then we also will echo the Father. Right? Do you want to try it again? How many times do you think you can hear this? Echo. Now, if you've got a real keen ear, you probably heard four or five. Well, okay, let's say the first one, the original, was God. The second one, which is the loudest, was the Son of God. Then the next one that's the next loudest after that was probably Paul. Then we've got William Branham on down, you see. It's echo, 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 echo. Now, it gets a little bit fainter as the echo goes on. Just like we have a measure, Jesus had the whole thing. Right? I love the way that Scripture all ties together like this. Then Jesus, the first fruit, was the first repeat of us, of the Father to us. And as we catch the vision and are conformed to the image of the Son, that's Romans 8, then we also will do nothing unless the Father shows us first. And what we teach are the commandments from the Father given to us through the first echo of his Son. And thus, as we echo them to others, they are repeated again and again and again, showing the Word is living and abiding in us. And you know, there's a real beauty about singing with an echo thing on. Anybody ever sing in the shower? I used to, you know, after soccer practice when I was a kid, they had these big, huge showers, and you could sing there and you could sound pretty good, much better than your original. And you know, if we all sing together, it hides any imperfections in the individual voices. But we're all singing the same thing, the same way. It's melody. It's beautiful. Well, just like your heart pumping shows that you're alive, so too your echoing the Word of God again and again shows that you've been made alive in Christ Jesus. And notice, as in the natural, the heart pumping the blood, which the life is in the blood, and thus the pumping of the heart is the evidence that you're alive in the natural, so too in the spiritual, whereas the heart represents our understanding, then thus as the understanding echoes the Word of God over and over again, it is an evident token that you have been made alive in Christ. And the life that was in the Father and given to the Son, he has quickened in you, and you are all, and you are alive, showing that he and his life is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why Paul says in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. Yet it's not I that's living, but Christ is living in me. And the life that I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was living by an echo. I like that. I want to live by an echo. In other words, Paul was saying, since I was crucified in Christ, I am living by his faith, his revelation. And thus, as a result, the life by which he lived, I too am living. And thus we see the life that was in the Father passed down to the Son and then sons. And so we see that whosoever is of such a nature as to be able to echo the Son of God will also echo the Father who is life. Now let's look at this word hath again in reference to the effect it has upon those who possess the ability to echo versus those who cannot. In Matthew 13, verse 12, he says, for whosoever hath, whosoever echoes or is of such nature as to be able to echo, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And why is that? Because the very nature of an echo is that to have more and more and more of the same thing. I say it once, but it comes back again and again and again. But whosoever hath not, or whosoever is not of such a nature as to be able to echo, from him shall be taken away even that he hath, even that which he thinks he is echoing or he's repeating. Now the term hath life is used 23 times in the New Testament. But in my examination, this is an important thing I want you to understand. In my examination of each use of the term hath life, I found that the word hath was not always translated from the Greek word echo. And to my amazement, the only times that the word hath was not taken from the Greek word echo is when it referred to something that God himself said or did. And why is that? Because God has no one to echo. He's the original. His spoken word is the original. It is not an echo. But each time that that word reflects from the spoken word, the next time and the next and the next and the next, it's echoing. Therefore, the source of life does not echo, but we echo what he said. In 1 John 3, verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life, echoes eternal life abiding in him. That word, okay, in 1 John 5, verse 11, and this is a record that God hath given to us eternal life, and his life is in his Son. But here we do not see the word echo used. The word hath there is interpolation and is not even in the original. Simply put, not God hath given you, but God gave to us eternal life. We've already seen the usage of this in 1 John 5 and 2. He that hath, he that echoes the Son echoes life, and he that echoes not the Son echoes a son echoes not life. And in closing, Acts chapter 11, verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And the Greek word there, hath, comes from the word didomi, which means to give. It does not mean echo. So God didn't echo us eternal life. He gave us eternal life, and then it echoes from there. And John 15, verse 3, greater love echoes no man than this, that the man lay down his life for his friend. John 3, 36, he that believeth on the Son echoes everlasting life. John 5, 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me echoes everlasting life. John 5, 26, for as the Father echoes life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. John 6, 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me echoes everlasting life. Now, when did the Father echo life? It's when Jesus came. That's the echo. The first time God spoke, Brother Brown said, what happened? The Son of God came. The Logos came out of God, was Jesus. God is the Logos, right? If God is Logos and then the Son is Logos, what's that, an echo? All right. Revelation 2:7. He that hath an ear echoes. He that is of such a nature as he is able to hear an echo, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. John 20:31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might echo life through his name. And John 5:25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word, because it's just so phenomenal, Father, that we've been given an ability to echo. We are not deaf mutes. We are not blind that we cannot see. we have bodies that can echo, hearts that can echo, mouths that can echo, ears that can hear to echo, eyes that can see to echo. But Father, you said that it's not for everyone, because there are people who cannot echo. They're not made in such a way to echo. Therefore, when they hear, they don't understand. When they see, they can't perceive. But Father, you've given us your Spirit. And no man can know the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. Therefore, Father, we're thankful that you have given us your Spirit. And now that we're sure that we have your Spirit, because we find in our lives we have echoed. And we found that we have laid hands on the sick, and the sick have been healed. Not greater than, not more than. We saw that in William Branham. It seems like every meeting there was just tens and just thousands and thousands. But Lord, it doesn't matter. If it's once or twice, it's a witness. You said everything's to be witnessed by two or three. So, Father, we just pray that in our lives you might begin to echo more. And Father, because we want to die so that we can get ourselves out of the way, so we can become hollowed out. And we know that when things are hollowed out, they become an echo chamber. Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you. And so, Lord, we just pray, help us to die. Help us to rot and hollow out. May this vessel of ours just have nothing in it but your word echoing itself over and over and over again. For we ask it humbly In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hallelujah. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able I have committed.